This week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast is presented by Greenspun Media Group. Thanks for joining me. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, plus an exclusive conversation with someone you know or need to know in Vegas showbiz. I do have a bunch of little Strip news bits, but I'm going to try to speed through them this week because I really want to tell you all about my pre-opening tour of Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, which opens this week after several delays, and I'm really excited about that. So let's get going. Encore Las Vegas announced recently that it'll return to full week operations on April 8th. The connected sister resort to Wynn Las Vegas has been doing the midweek closure thing since October, so it'll be great to get its casino, hotel, restaurants, and amenities back up and running all week long. Atomic Saloon Show announced its reopening date at the Grand Canal Shops at Venetian will be May 5th. This is the newest show from Spiegelworld, originally opened in 2019 to rave reviews, and I've been raving about it too. It's really funny. I highly recommend it. Spiegelworld also reopened its first Vegas show, Absinthe, at Caesar's Palace last week, and I was there in the Spiegel tent on St. Patrick's Day to see one of the most popular shows on the Strip come back to life again. We expect the company's third show, Opium at the Cosmopolitan, to return soon as well. And speaking of shows, there's going to be another announcement today, Wednesday the 24th, of Something Magical returning to the stage soon, but I'm not allowed to say more than that. Go check out LasVegasSun.com this afternoon for all of the details. The Rio announced what will probably be the first of many big changes coming to the off-strip property in the coming months and years. The Hyatt Hotel Corporation has struck a deal with the Rio's ownership group, Dreamscape Companies, to bring several Hyatt brands to Las Vegas with different projects in the coming years, starting with a Hyatt Regency Hotel. So there was a bit of confusion about what that means for the future of the Rio, but the announcement does say it'll be renovated and rebranded with multiple Hyatt brands. And basically all the spaces at the Rio, from gaming to retail to food and beverage to the pool, will be redeveloped. And one of the existing hotel towers will become a 1,500-room Hyatt Regency Hotel. So it sounds to me like the Rio branding will eventually be going away, but I'm not 100% sure about that. We're going to continue to dig into this at the Las Vegas Sun, so stay tuned. One more big announcement that I reported on and posted a story about on Monday. Resorts World is going to bring a huge Asian-inspired food hall to its casino when it opens this summer. It's called Famous Food Street Eats, and it'll have tons of different vendors, some of which were recruited from the popular hawker food markets in Southeast Asia. It's a really innovative take for a casino, and as somebody who's been eating all the food in Vegas and writing about all the restaurants here for a long time, this is one of the most exciting culinary developments I've seen in a while. Go read all about it right now at LasVegasWeekly.com. Okay, let's talk about Virgin, because this project has been, we've been waiting a long time on it to happen. Bought the Hard Rock Hotel years ago, started talking about plans for it. Of course, Hard Rock closed down in February 2020, right after the Super Bowl, with plans to reopen in November. Pandemic decided to stop that from happening, so it got pushed back again. Here we are, March 25th, Thursday, at 6 p.m. is going to be the opening of Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. Last week, I was one of the few media people who got to take a tour of almost the entire property. And, you know, the biggest thing that everybody is asking is, how different is Virgin going to be from the Hard Rock? The Hard Rock was such a beloved property for locals as well as Vegas visitors. Such a cool place to party, great restaurants, great entertainment, and just a cool vibe overall. So is that vibe going to be the same? Is it going to be different? Is it going to be cool? Judging from this first look, it's definitely cool. It's a lot different from the Hard Rock, much more relaxed. The colors are much brighter. I highly recommend that when you go to Virgin, you enter at the front main entrance. Don't go in the side way like I did. You want that crazy, awestruck moment of walking into this place and being like, wow, they really changed it around. That feeling is most evident at the main entrance when you go into the main casino, and in the backyard area where they've completely redone the swimming pool setup, redone the day club, created new spaces there, an event lawn that they're going to do private events as well as concerts and different things. The pool is really going to be where it's at. And there's like a half dozen restaurants that have patios overlooking the pool. So I think the outdoor space is really going to be the heart of Virgin. I also really like the changes that have been made to the restaurant that used to be MB Steak. It's now called One Steakhouse. That is a really cozy little nook of the casino. And the flow to get to the different areas is much better than it used to be. You know, the Hard Rock expanded years ago, added a new hotel tower and this extra space where One Steakhouse is. And it was kind of off in its own area. And it just didn't go together. You had to hunt it down. Now it's a much better flow around the entire resort. You kind of got to see it yourself to understand. And there's some venues that are not going to be open quite yet this week, but they will be open later this spring, including those pools and Money Baby, which is a hybrid sports book, restaurant, bar, almost nightclub type of thing. There's a lot of venues that do a lot of different things. Cassie Beach Club is kind of a combo of a fancy restaurant and loungy club thing that we've seen before at other resorts. But this is from a new operator from Los Angeles, and they're bringing a new vibe. The Joint is going to have a different name, but it's still going to be the same, you know, 4,500-seat concert hall having different shows from touring artists and residencies and comedians and really exciting programming by AEG Las Vegas. That hasn't changed. So overall, if you're excited about the opening of Virgin, I don't think you're going to be disappointed when you walk in and check this out. It's definitely not the Hard Rock. It definitely isn't dark and kind of moody. And, you know, you walk in and the action is right there. It's much more grown up and refined and almost relaxing. And I think for people my age that really spent their hard partying years at the Hard Rock, to go back to this property that we have a lot of nostalgia for and see that it has kind of grown up with us and now it's given us the different things that we need at this stage of our life from the Vegas experience, I think it's a great fit. But go check it out for yourself and see. It opens on Thursday, and I got a lot more to say about it in this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine. Virgin's on the cover, and a whole bunch of words from me about this place and how it feels and looks. Go check it out, lasvegasweekly.com. Okay, one of the longest running headliners on the Strip is my guest this week on Sun on the Strip, and you may have just seen him on TV last week. Matt King is one of the all-time great comic magicians. He's been starring in his own show at Harris for 2 decades now. And on Friday night, his third appearance on Penn & Teller Fool Us was broadcast. Go check out the clip on YouTube. Just search Matt King Magic Toilet. That's the hilarious trick he did on the show. It's just fun to watch him interact with Penn & Teller, too, because they're all, like, best buddies. And Matt started a new pandemic project with some of his other Vegas showbiz pals, a YouTube talk show called Don't Everybody Leave. Definitely go subscribe to that. He hasn't been able to return to his show on the Strip yet, but it looks like the comeback will happen this summer. This guy is everybody's favorite, one of the nicest guys in the industry, and really, nobody does what he does better. Mac King, Master of the Magic Toilet. That's your new title.
Yeah, I'm working on I got a shower trick I'm working on, then a bidet maybe, and an outhouse. Mac King's Restroom Magic. That's my new show.
You've clearly been making use of your surroundings over the last year to come up with new material. So that's good. Very resourceful.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Just right over on the other side of that wall is the bathroom where I practiced that trick and refined it.
It seems like you had a lot of fun on your third appearance now, right, on Penn & Teller Fool Us last week. How'd that go?
Yeah, I mean, we shot it under quarantine rules, right? So, and because I was local, I got even more sort of quarantined. I went in to the Rio, got swabbed, and then promised not to leave my house for 3 days. Once my test came back negative, then I went to the Rio, got retested, and then stuck into a room at the Rio. And then once that test came back negative, then I was kind of in the Rio bubble. And because, and that was important for the big toilet trick, because one of the things I needed to do for that trick was to borrow a bill from teller. So that was good technique. I like that.
I don't know if that worked, but
for those of you just listening, Brock just squeezed his microphone in his hand while he coughed. It was good.
I don't want my microphone to get my germs.
Yeah. Right. And, so teller, I need to, for the toilet trick, I had to borrow a bill of some sort, you know, 1, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 from teller. And so initially they were like, well, we're trying not to have them touch any props that the magician touches and vice versa. And so, but I was able to go in and get in the same bubble as those guys. And so, but there were big meetings about whether or not I could borrow money. So yeah, it was quite an experience. That team, I mean, like you said, I've been on 3 times and they just couldn't have been nicer. I mean, I really like being on that show because the producers really care about making the magicians look really good. And, you know, ostensibly it's about, you know, did you fool Penn and Teller? But really it's just that's just a hook to hang a magic show on. And they really try to, those guys are, you know, Penn and Teller, you know, sort of everybody takes their cue from them, and Penn and Teller really care about making it a good magic show. It's not really about whether you fooled them. I mean, I have tricks in my act that I know the first time they saw them did in fact fool them, or maybe even the second or third time. But they come to my show. Those guys come to my show so often that by the time they started doing those shows, I'm like, I got nothing that's going to actually fool them. So I'm just trying to make them laugh.
I mean, they don't get fooled that often, in part because they've been to your show many times and they've been to other shows and they've seen it all, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. They kind of know a lot about magic, it turns out.
And you really are, you've been friends with these guys for a long time. It seems like the whole crew of magicians who have played Vegas for a lot of years are all kind of close.
I would say for me anyway, I mean, I don't know about the rest of everybody, but I mean, my close, really close, good friends are, you know, Penn, Teller, Lance Burton, who's no longer a Las Vegas resident, moved back to Kentucky. He and I are boyhood chums, so we've known each other since we were 14. But so Penn, Teller, Lance, and then other people that you wouldn't be as familiar with, but the guys that I'm doing this Don't Everybody Leave talk show, some way to keep myself sane without doing shows. So a guy named Jacob Jacks, who's a magician here in town, really funny, great magician, but performs mostly on the street, did. In front of Bally's. And then Michael Godot is a juggler who used to be in Lance Burton's show for years and years and years. He and I are good buddies. And a guy named Nick DeFott, who's sort of been, to me, the best of the really young, you know, 20-something comedy magicians coming up in the world. He lives here in town. And Jason England, who's also a magician here in town, but is a really a gambling authority, you know, cheating and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So those guys are, you know, my sort of chief crew, and, you know, 6 of us, me, Godot, oh, and Vinny Grasso, who's also a magician here in town. Vinny just opened a show downtown. Actually, he's doing live shows at the moment. We usually, once a week at least, would gather in my backyard for food and pie and croquet. strangely enough. We're we play a pretty vicious brand of croquet. And that's, you know, besides doing shows, that's kind of the one thing I miss the most. So I'm doing that goofy talk show on YouTube. It's called Don't Everybody Leave, to sort of scratch that hanging out with my buddies itch.
Yeah, I guess you couldn't call your show the Las Vegas Croquet and Pie Club. That wouldn't make a lot of sense.
You know, that's actually, that's not a name that we considered, but that's what we should have called it, actually.
So that was this show, it really just came out of everybody being locked down during the pandemic and needing.
We're just, so we, like I said, once or twice a week, we would kind of hang out, play croquet. And it's mostly, you know, croquet is the perfect game for what we did, which was make fun of each other and, you know, try to make each other laugh, because there's, you know, there's plenty of time in between your turn and the next time your turn comes around. And for joking and making fun of how somebody's playing, or shots that they didn't make, or amazing shots that they did make. And so, but once the pandemic kind of shut that down, then we started playing. We found on the Oculus VR headset, there's not croquet, unfortunately, but there is mini golf. And man, it's really great. It's the closest thing to that hanging out with your buddies croquet experience. You can see each other's little avatars, and you can see each other's, pardon the expression, putters and balls. And and you can watch each other play, and your experience, you know, you got a whole, you know, complete surrounding miniature golf course, and you can talk in real time and laugh in real time. And it's, so that's, we're thinking, you know, I think, you know, people would like to hang out with us if there, you know, if there were more people hanging out. There are only five, you can only have that five people playing that, but this talk show is a way for us to get together, hang out, and have other people hang out with us, kind of.
How much magic is involved in this show? Is it you guys just kind of hanging out and having those very loose conversations?
We're not really doing too much magic. I mean, a couple of people, we taped an episode earlier today with a guy in England. That's the other thing. I mean, you know, you can do it worldwide, right? We have a guest every week. And this guy's like one of the great card magicians in the world. And so he did this card trick that he's known for, you know, on there. And we've had a couple of performances. And like Earl Turner here in town, the singer, Earl's been on and sung and played guitar. And so people who come on sometimes do their speciality. Mm-hmm. But mostly we're just, again, trying to make each other laugh, and hence the viewers laugh.
Yeah. And you had Lance on for one show, didn't you?
Yeah, Lance has been on. We've taped like a dozen of them, but we kind of have a few in the bank in case, because there are six of us like that are the hosts. And so trying to get all of us together at the same time, plus a guest, is scheduling is kind of tricky sometimes. So we tape them when we can. And so we've taped about, like I said, a dozen of them, but we've released seven or eight of them so far. So we have a few banked that we can use in case there's a week, because they come out every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And so if there turns out to be a week that we can't do them, the 23rd of March, the latest episode is Misbehave. Do you ever go to her show, the game show?
I loved it.
She's great. Yeah, she's great. So the episode with her is the one that drops in the morning.
Oh, I got to check that out for sure. I love that show. It kind of reminded me of your show a little bit too, in the way that the interactivity and the you know, maximizing what you've got.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of crap made from cardboard.
I think I said it in a nicer way.
Yeah,
that was a great show. I know it closed before the pandemic, but hopefully it will make its way back to.
Yeah, she's not sure what her future plans are. I mean, she's still living here in town, and I think hopes to open in some capacity with some sort of show. But whether it'll be that Misbehave game show again or some other weird side, you know, she's got a lot of
weird sideshow stuff that she didn't do in that show. I mean, she's a sword swallower and has some other, you know, crazy sideshow skills that she didn't really put to use in that show.
Where did you end up falling on the whole virtual performance thing? Because I know over the course of the last year, some Vegas entertainers really embraced doing some version of their show online, and others absolutely hate the concept of doing what they do online because not everything translates. Did you do anything like that over the last year?
I did a few. I mean, I did a ticketed shows through some theaters around the country, you know, where they sold tickets to their mailing list. And then I had a live virtual show here. And I've done a couple of shows for different corporations, but it wasn't totally satisfying for me. Although the one good thing that did come out of it, I mean, that toilet trick was initially for this virtual show that I designed. So I did get that toilet trick out of there. And and I have one other thing that might translate to, you know, some sort of TV or some other appearance. But it's so, I mean, like you were saying before, my show is so interactive and so dependent upon the audience and me playing off of them and them, you know, having responses to what happens on stage. And it's really hard to translate that into the video, you know, virtual world. So, I mean, I've got a couple of more like corporate things booked, and it's not that I don't like it, but it doesn't feel as fun for me. And so I've been kind of enjoying hanging out with my wife, our daughter. You know, initially our daughter, who's was a sophomore in college when this whole COVID thing started last March. She was in New York City. She came home for what she thought was going to be spring break in March. And then they announced, oh, we're going to have spring break last 2 weeks this year. And then they announced, you know what, the rest of the year is going to be virtual. And then the first part of your junior year, the first semester of your junior year is going to be virtual too. So our daughter was here for a while too. So it was kind of cool to get to spend time with them. And I've been really enjoying that and riding bikes with my family and, you know, hanging out virtually with my buddies and, you know, hopefully, and we've figured out we've got big industrial kind of heaters on the back patio so we could have, you know, another couple or two over for dinner, you know, at separate tables and, mm-hmm. you know, try to be safe in that regard. So I've been enjoying myself, but the, you know, performing, I mean, it's just those Zoom shows don't scratch that itch in the way that I need.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be when we would, you know, when my wife and I would, you know, I'd take maybe a week off work, and that's usually the longest I've had off in, I mean, literally 25 or 30 years of, you know, 10 days off in a row would be crazy. And, you know, 3 days into a vacation, my wife would say, you know, this, you know, pre-pandemic, she'd say, I know what's wrong with you. No one laughed or applauded for you in three whole days. But it's true, man. It's, you know, it's a drug for me. Mm-hmm. And the withdrawal has really been rough.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, obviously I've talked to so many different kinds of entertainers here in Vegas over the past year and kind of explored these issues. And depending on what you do, that adds little strange wrinkles to how you've dealt with not being able to do it. You know, we have a lot of dancers and acrobats and real physical performers that this has affected their health in a strange way because, you know, they're not, their job keeps them in such great shape and they're in the best shape in the world and stuff like that. And then there's comedians and you know, like you, a comedian and a magician who basically does a solo, a one-man show, and...
You're forgetting the bear. There's a bear.
That's how long it's been.
But it is still a one-man show. I guess you're right. It's a one-man show.
Yeah, I was going to...
Plus a bear. Yeah, yeah.
I'll go back and edit in
yeah.
one man, one bear.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's I think it's hard to understand for non-performers, civilians like me, it's hard to understand, you know, what this has been like for this big community in Las Vegas.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but that said too, I mean, I'm really lucky also because, you know, I've been doing the show at Harrah's for over 20 years. You know, it's funny. I actually celebrated January 2020, 20 years at Harrah's, but we were putting off the celebration to May of 2020.
Whoops.
For a big party at my house. And then that didn't happen. So I don't know what we're going to, you know, now do we have to wait now the 20, 25 years? I don't know. And does the last year count even? All right. Can I say I've been at Harrah's for 21 years? I don't know whether.
Right. When I talked to Penn in November, or December, I mistakenly said, you guys are one of the longest running headliners. And he was like, no, the longest running headliners.
Oh, really?
Consecutively, like without taking a break. So I don't know. Where does that forced break? I don't think it counts. I think everybody we pick up where we left off.
If you ask Penn, that's what they say in all their promo stuff. But I started a year before they did. So
that's right.
Just so you know. I mean, they're making a lot more money than I am. But no, that's a little private joke of us butting heads about who's been here longer.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, geez, man, it's crazy how cut out the part of me weeping.
Well, weeping aside, you're looking at June 1st right now, tentatively as a
yeah, tentatively. Possible comeback date. That's just, who knows what that, you know, I mean, I'm getting my second dose of vaccine tomorrow. And I think, you know, June 1st, it seems like from what I hear, everybody who, wants the vaccine should be able to have gotten it by then. And I'm more and more optimistic as it gets closer to that date that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the show looks like. I mean, because as you know, before there were so many, you know, people from the audience up on stage with me, and I don't, you know, if I went back tomorrow, that wouldn't be able to happen. And so I don't know what it'll be like in June. And how comfortable people will feel doing that either, or how comfortable I'll feel having that happen, or whether the regulations will even allow it.
Right. Has there been any like stop and start already with your show? Because I know Harrah's has opened other shows and been able to.
Yeah, run. They've had some other shows. And no, I haven't. I've been, my wife and daughter both have some lung issues. And so I haven't been keen to go back to bring that home.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can still have that big anniversary party this May or sometime this summer. We can just pretend like.
Yeah, that's I think that's what we want to do. The plan is to be able to just say, all right, that last year didn't happen. Happy 20th.
We talked a little bit about, you know, people who, you know, have to get back into shape to do their Vegas job again. You got to do that too, right? It's a different kind of shape and preparation, but what's your ramp up going to be like, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, sadly I will be watching, I think, a lot of Matt King video to go. Oh yeah. Because I mean, the other morning I was laying in bed, you know, before I got up out of bed, laying there going, all right, I know when the voiceover says, please welcome Matt King. I come running out with a suitcase, set the suitcase down, say, howdy, I'm Matt King. And then I know that the first trick I do is this rope trick. I can't remember. I mean, I laid there going, what do I say to get from howdy, I'm Matt King, and to the start of the rope trick? I know there are a couple of sentences there and I couldn't remember what they were. And I laid there until I did, you know, luckily I remembered them, or I might not have even gotten out of bed that day. I don't know. But I'll be watching some video. I'm also, I think, I've got some buddies who run some comedy, you know, stand-up rooms in town, and I may go in and do 10 minutes or 15 minutes or something. And those rooms prior to June 1st. Once I'm vaccinated, I may start trying to do, you know, little guest spots here and there around town just to kind of feel it out again and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fun. Let me know where you go. I'll sit in the back of the room and I'll laugh really hard.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's good. I'm certainly made. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether you're laughing at me or with me.
I mean, it won't matter. It won't matter.
Right? No, it's true. Yeah. Well, oh, listen to him die. You know, I mean, I've been there too, you know, where like a few years ago, I went to Munich in Germany for a couple of shows. And they were, you know, they were sold as English speaking shows. So people who live in Munich, but understand English, bought tickets ostensibly for these shows. But there were some jokes, man, that are pretty, you know, I feel like pretty surefire in English. And for people whose English, for whom English is their second language, you know, there was silence. Except for my wife and daughter who went with me on that trip, except for my wife and daughter cackling at this complete silence where there's normally laughter, but just these two American women laughing, but not at the jokes, just at the plight of their husband or father.
That's what family is for right there.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Well, I think, you know, hopefully it will be very soon, this late spring, early summer, that you'll be back on stage. It'll be perfect timing. I know that, you know, summer's always a good time for you because there's so many more families in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And your show is one of the kind of rare family-friendly shows on the Strip. So what else? Is there anything else that you want to say to those people who are your fans and followers and are looking forward to seeing you on stage again in Vegas?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing, I mean, I, you know, that's nice of you to say that there would be people looking forward to seeing me because really the truth is I'm more than you can know. I'm looking forward to seeing you, those people sitting out there, you know, in the dark, looking up, waiting to see something entertaining. I can't wait.
Okay, let me send you off with my three picks for live entertainment in Las Vegas this weekend. First up, David Copperfield reopened his show at the David Copperfield Theater, MGM Grand, Sunday night. He's playing multiple shows nightly and three shows on the weekends. There is no bigger magic spectacular on the Strip than Copperfield, and even though his show feels intimate and exclusive, all of a sudden he'll drop this huge illusion on you and really stun the audience. If you've never seen Copperfield, go do it. I'm going to break the rules and give you a second show at the same casino, MGM Grand, because it's something special right now. And I'm really excited to go check out the Jabberwockies performing in the MGM Grand Garden Arena. The Masked Dance crew has performed in arena-sized venues before when they're touring around the world. And now we've got the chance to see just how big their show can be. It's twice nightly, Thursday through Monday. Last but not least, check out the Vegas Room off the Strip at Commercial Center on East Sahara, where one of my favorite Vegas singers is doing her thing Friday and Saturday. It's Savannah Smith, an absolute chameleon of a vocalist. She can sing anything, and she'll be doing different genres in these dinner shows this weekend. TheVegasRoom.com is where you got to go to get your tickets. That's all I got. Thanks for listening this week. Special thanks to the great Mac King. Go check out his YouTube show. It's called Don't Everybody Leave. And go check out past episodes of The Sun on the Strip at lasvegassun.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. Take care. See you next week.